Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Some guy in Washington tells a Wawa up on Cottman Avenue, "Yo, that's too much for that. Cut that back. They got a little speaker in there. Please cut that back. That product is..." How far would you go? What are the lines? What are the thresholds? Nobody knows. But here's what the problem is. Are there enough dopey Americans out there due to the dopey education system called the public schools? Are they economically illiterate enough? And if they're far left enough, by definition, they believe in this, to believe that that's what will happen. Now, we're not going to turn into Venezuela overnight with this, but what it does is it leads to shortages. Nobody can figure out what the price should be at any one point. It's called competition. It's called a million variables. And that's how we have abundance and up until these last number of years, relatively decent food prices. I mean, just to give you an idea of how this show works, Dan sent me home with home reading last night, 42 pages of small print, defending Taylor Swift and attacking Ticketmaster. And
you don't pull down the Swifties, Dom, without having some kind of evidence to back. You got to have that going.
So I don't know that she's going to talk about Ticketmaster today. That would be an interesting thing to say. You know, we got to do something about this, ball games, Ticketmaster, concerts, etc. She's actually going to talk about the grocery store. I thought avoidance would be the best action. And what a day in America where a genius, just an outright genius, who's never held a job other than say, "My name's Bob Casey, Jr., put me in office."
That's a very sensual voice you had there.
Yes, he is. He's a nice enough guy, but not really. When you see where he's going with things, Bob Casey today all over national news, because he's the first one to blame corporate America, to blame Snickers bars and all of that. It's stunning. And that's where we will be today. Does she get away with it? Because here's the upside for Kamala Harris. She's addressing it. She's directly gone right down Broadway with this stuff. It looks aggressive. Does she get away with it? Because people can't connect this, and they start to believe that corporate America is really, particularly in the grocery stores. I look at several analyses today. The big grocery chains and grocery smaller too, their price profit point is about 1.2% to 1.3%. Most corporations that are affected, most businesses, it's around 8.5%. So in what universe does Bob Casey Jr. get away with telling us they have record profits here? Big avocados killing us. How does he get away with that? Because he doesn't go anywhere where he's challenged. Now, I wouldn't overstate it, as I said, to say I looked at a great piece today on Venezuela. What's it like in Venezuela? They follow this mother who she's only able to go and shop on Mondays. You're only allowed to go to the stores run by the state, price controls, on Mondays. She has to leave two kids at home. She takes a six-month-old with her. The husband has to take off from his job to protect her from gangs who will jump you around the supermarkets. They go in. There's no meat. They get some sardines for the week. Now, I don't think we're going to get there overnight with Kamala Harris.
Sardines aren't too bad.
Here you go. Here's the big bet. Harris is betting we have more dopes in America who won't get this. Could she be right? Yeah, dopes. Yeah, I'm going to tell them it's corporate. I didn't do anything. I'm on your side. I'm fighting. I'm going to give you $25,000 to get into a new house. Remember September 2008 when the economy was teetering? And what did it? All the junk housing people that should not have been given the ability to get into the home, all the stuff that went on with that. This is very similar to what she's going to be talking about today. But politically, she's calculating people will maybe agree with this, or at least they will say, "I'm not sure what did it." So Republicans have to do a better job on this. They have to be all over this explicitly. Trump made an attempt at it yesterday. That's a start. It has to be relentless. This is socialism. This is Venezuela. probably not going to get anywhere near there because America is so resilient, but this is where she's headed. That's what this is about today. Take back the Senate, keep the House, take the presidency, and then go after them. And go after them every single day and put people in there who get it, that they are there to be responsive to the people that are in authority, not to their own swamp delusions. So I'm talking about the fact that Andy Biggs, Congressman Biggs, who is on the committee to investigate what happened, how the shooter was able to get that close and fire away and hit President Trump, among others. And new details have surfaced. Clay Higgins is the guy. Biggs is under two, but Clay Higgins. He went there to investigate to the rooftop, to the field there. And in the 6-page report preliminary that he put out, what he found so far, first of all, he says that a Butler County SWAT operator from the ground about 100 yards away is the one that hit Crooks first, not the Secret Service. And he talked about how this guy moved heaven and earth and put himself at risk to get that shot off. But the FBI released the body of Crooks for cremation 10 days after the shooting, almost unannounced. And I think Higgins makes a good point. We would just have to go by the coroner and autopsy report. But who checks that? And look, you know, I try to tamp down the conspiratorial thing, but I don't try to tamp down. You know what, buddy? You're not going to be playing these games with this and doing whatever you want. There has to be a backup of an independent. We don't trust the FBI. We don't trust them, whatever their motivation is in any of this. Maybe more than the Secret Service. They also scrubbed down pretty quickly any biological evidence on the rooftop. Now, whether or not these things are standard procedure, again, what should be done at this point? Here's the bottom line to get to the bottom of this. With this Higgins preliminary report, bring in the head of the FBI, bring them all in right now, this week. Bring them in. Put them under oath. Go through this. Get them to put on the record of what they've done so far and why. On the record, under oath. If they won't answer, there's got to be some mechanism, some kind of repercussion here when they're not answering. All right? Whether it's in closed session or not. Get them on the record right now. What I'm saying to you is this Higgins report, I think, is enough to get another go-round. Now it's with the FBI and their investigation. Why this is still fresh. You had something there, Dan.
No, I'm just curious. Like, what would be the reasoning why they would cremate the guy 10 days after the situation?
Yeah, well, that's unanswerable at this point, but this is the first I'm hearing about it. It should have been a national, no, you don't do that. Well, we're the experts. We're the FBI. We're in charge. No, no, you're not. Congress is in charge of this. We got to say it to them clearly. We don't trust you. Just say it to them. We don't trust you. Look at you. So I don't know why they think they would do it, Dan, other than that's what the family wanted or whatever. Well, guess what? Don't go around shooting a president of the United States and killing someone else. We don't care what you want at that point. We're going to keep that for as long as we want. And also, he makes the point that I was making. If you cremate it, if you do that, then all we have to go on, and that report's still not there from the coroner, the autopsy, we don't have anything independent. Well, you have the FBI's report. Sorry, we want backup on that. We want to see if there's any other opinion around this. Now, what would they have found about Crooks that's so important that we don't have to cremate him? I don't know. I don't know what we would have found about it, but it seems like an awful rush after all this to move forward. Again, the mission has to be to bring this under control. Now, Trump is the one that put Christopher Wray in there. That's a Chris Christie and the whole thing. He should have dumped him, too. I don't know the reason why. This guy comes in, says nothing time after time after time. So now we have both the Secret Service and the FBI involved in this. You also have, as I said, the fact that it was a SWAT team from Butler that stopped this guy. And apparently he had to get in harm's way to do it where the shot was coming from. He got off 8 shots. The nice shot is the one from the SWAT guy that hit him. Those are the real highlights here from Higgins. I don't see anything else in there, but it raises the question again. He went there on the scene. He's got some background. These are unanswerable questions again. We go round and round and round with these outfits. I know you see tedious. Bring them in again. Get them on the record. Do whatever you have to do to let the American people see that this is not over by a long shot. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. So I'm not saying this guy has a smoking gun here that says they did X, Y, or Z to cover something up or whatever it might be. But you would think, no, I wouldn't think it because they're arrogant. They think, what are you going to do to them? You would think, after all that's going on here, they would be very transparent about it. Transparent about it is not cremating the body. Why weren't we told? What? Why? Where was Congress? Don't they have to tell you, hey, we're going to release this body and cremate it? I didn't see it out there in the news. I didn't hear anybody talking about it. Well, we make that decision. You know what? No, you don't. You're under the authority of Congress here. Yeah, but these are day-to-day. You're really going to micro? Yeah, we are. We don't trust you. There's too much stuff going on here. And if you want to stop conspiracies, conspiracy talk, then you're going to have to be transparent. If you're not, then we're going to continue to see this battle. All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us with a Stephen. What is the first date film? And if you have one that you went on, yeah, many people, I get why people, Roe and I didn't go on a first date to a film, but it's good because you have something to talk about. You see, does the other person laugh at certain things?
It's a terrible first date, Dom.
Whoa, yes. Wait a minute here.
Horrible.
Oh, where's I got to get Lou Gall
guys,
back
the entire point of the first date is you want to get to know somebody. You don't want to sit next to them watching something and being silent the entire time.
It takes some of the pressure off, and you do get to know them by watching their reaction to the whole thing.
Are you going
to
watch them watch the movie instead of watch the movie?
Well, no, it's your reaction and their reaction, and then you have something to talk about. I think it takes a lot of stuff off. Yeah. But Dan was so smooth on the first date, he didn't need a film. He's throwing it out for the rest
of us. He went to Applebee's and got half-priced appetizers.
Oh, well, there you go. We learned something on that.
You know?
Jim said our third date was going to see a film. All right, I'm talking first date. That's where the most pressure. So what did Tim Walz? Now, at that point in time, Jurassic Park was pretty hot. So was Mrs. Doubtfire. That would have been a good choice. Tim Walz chose a film that I really like, or the two of them. Now, she might have been into this because, remember, the wife wanted to smell the burning tires when the riots went on. By the way, I mentioned Don Jr., and good news to report. Just check out Talk Radio 1210's Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly Twitter. Special flash sale right now. That's on tickets to Politics and Pints with Don Jr. on Thursday, September 12th, Scottish Rite Auditorium, Collingswood, New Jersey. Hit me with a Steve. Robert in Bensalem on that front. Hey, Robert, who's your Steve?
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today. I got to tell you, though, Dom, I kind of agree with Dan on this. When you're a kid and you're going to a first date on a girl you know from school, a movie might be a good deal. But if you're an adult and you're trying to get to know somebody, like, for instance, me and my ex, we didn't go to a movie until we were together for a while. You know what I mean? I mean, you just want a dinner and something where you can get to know each other and still be entertained, and you're too engrossed in the movie to really do that. But I see what you're saying, because first dates are kind of a crapshoot anyway, if you think about it. But when I was younger, a movie would have been a good deal, or roller skating or something. But when you're older, you want to get to know the person a little bit.
That's fair enough. I just think you get to know them, though. You see what they're laughing at or what they're
sad
about.
What a relic of the past that I miss is roller skating rinks.
Yeah, roller skating rinks are good, too. Gosh, yeah. Chip and putt or putt-putt.
That's a good one, too. Something where you can talk while you're doing what you're doing. But again, when you're younger and you already know the person, you know what I mean? That's a different scenario than when you're older and trying to figure them out. But for my answer to the side question, I was going to go with Stevie Ray Vaughan, died in a helicopter accident, and I could listen to his guitar all day long. And great I'll one. Leave it there. And you guys have a great weekend.
You too, Robert. Today's a big day. And I have to predict, I think it's not going to be fleshed out today. I think it's going to take a little bit longer to see how America reacts to this. But the idea of doing something that's never worked and is associated with socialism, even communism, the old Soviet Union, what's the one thing we remember about them? Always standing in line. Shortages. That's what you're going to get with this. The fact that she's even willing to try it tells you a lot about where they believe America is. We'll see. I'm not seeing the Republicans geared up to effectively knock this down. We'll see if they can. All right, 855-839-1210. We'll talk with Mr. Fast Food first. Then your calls a little bit later on. What's good on TV and films? And with Scott Cronick, Dan, I'm going to ask him, what's an appropriate first date film?
Oh, great question.
Not Tora, Tora, Tora. Do we believe Guy Shiraki actually went to witness on the first date, Dan, or is he cleaning up that resume for another run at Congress? What do you say?
It might be cleaning it up a little bit.
Cleaning up the resume. Guy, you got to call in on that one. We're not sure. Witness is a great choice, though. If that's around, go to that. Suddenly, too.
Isn't it a great choice for a first date, though?
Yeah, I think so.
A witness of a murder happening in a train station, and then...
It's a love story.
The whole silo scene, and...
Yeah, but...
It's a love story.
It is a love story.
It is, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... I mean, interspersed with a crime.
Oh, man. Well, you're not going to see Bridges of Madison County.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not seeing
that. Why not bring the chick to a chick flick? Or the girl to a chick flick?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Do we have to do
that?
That's
what I do with Maisie.
I guess, yeah.
And what you do. What is it, 27 dresses that she's obsessed with?
Oh, no. It was the Anne Hathaway, and I just threw out. Intern with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, but there's another one, too, that she was really into.
It'll come to me.
The Proposal, I think.
Well, The Proposal's not bad.
Yeah.
But, Betty White starts doing Indian noises and all, and playing superstitions in it. Yeah.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.